No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Welcome, Red Sox fans. Here are the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Bastards of Boston Baseball. Tonight, we're going to be doing some extension talk. There's a handful of players that are candidates for a possible extension in the last couple of weeks before opening day. So we're going to get through some of them. With me tonight, Andrew Dwan, Charlie Smith. How are you guys?
Doing good.
Good. Doing well.
Good, good, good. All right. The free agency that was fast and furious for almost 2 weeks has kind of died down. So see if the Red Sox make a small move, perhaps, but I don't think any of us are expecting anything big. I think the biggest news will be an extension. So the two biggest names we can get to right away, we probably won't spend a ton of time on them. Xander Bogaerts, Rafael Devers, a lot of people waiting to see if perhaps they land a big extension. We won't spend a ton of time on it because I think we can all agree these are guys we kind of want, you know, for the next several years to come. But Andrew, which one would you prioritize out of those two?
I mean, it's got to be Devers just because, you know, he is the longer term piece. Obviously, there's been a lot of news around Xander. Pete Abe did an exclusive with Boris today, and Boris kind of re-ran back his company lines of, you know, he took a huge discount before and he probably won't do it again. Let's see if it gets the, you know, the Red Sox to kind of pay it forward with Xander next offseason. So I think you kind of just gonna have to let that play out. He's obviously opting out. So you focus on the guy that should be here for the next 8 years or so. And that's Devers. And I see a lot of people saying, you know what, give him like 12, 13 years. I would be a lot happier if it was something like 8. I mean, you wanted to overpay a little bit more on an 8-year deal. I don't really care to have him past the age of like 34. I don't think that's going to age, you know, that great. So I think if you can sign him up for 8, 9 years right now, you got to do it. And you kind of might have to overpay and push the envelope a little bit with him.
Yeah, that's on point. I mean, I think we're all aligned that the top priority between those signings has to be Devers because he's the younger piece. He, I mean, you asked this I think it was Jason and I, who would you rather have in the ninth inning with a clutch at bat? Would you rather have Rafael Devers? Or would you rather have Xander Bogaerts? And the answer is Rafael Devers. This is the guy that I've wanted. I'm in love with. I really want to have him, you know? And I think similar to what Andrew was saying, you may have to overpay a little bit. It's going to definitely be more than 25 to 28 million to keep him in Boston. So he's going to be averaging close to that 28 to 30 minimum range, since we know it's probably going to take paying him more than what Trevor Story got and for a longer amount of time. So it might be 8 years with a ninth team and player mutual option. But it's going to be a doozy, but it's something that we need to get done.
I don't disagree. We did, like Charlie said, cover it on the last show. To Andrew's point, as far as the length goes, I'd be okay capping it at 10. 8 would obviously be ideal. I don't think anybody's going to disagree with that. But he did just turn 25 in October, so a 10-year deal essentially takes him through his age 35 season. I don't think that would be particularly brutal. If he were to get a 12 to 14 year extension, like the Bryce Harper didn't get an extension, but he got a contract of that length. Tatis got, I think, a 14 or 15 year extension, literally. I think if that were to happen, it would have been by now. So I think the Red Sox are looking at the probably the, I would say even 6 to 10 range. They'll probably start down at 6, and then it eventually gets to at least 8. But I was just thinking about this before I came on. What if Trevor Story just absolutely kills it this year? And, you know, he's easily 3,100 and plays well above average defense. That $140 million contract over 6 years, so that's 23 per, that could hurt Devers, because the Red Sox will have a counterpoint and say, well, you know, this is what we're paying Story, and he had a better year than you did. So why should we give you 27 to 30, I think.
How old is Trevor Story?
He is 29.
20. Yeah, Devers is 4 years younger. That's why you're paying him more. We haven't seen Rafael Devers' peak yet. I think we're all pretty much aligned that the peak years are 28, 29 for most ball players. Devers still has another 4 years before he gets there. So we haven't even seen the best of Rafael Devers yet, possibly. As far as Trevor Story goes, there's a very good chance that the very best of Trevor Story is currently right now, and maybe another 2-3 years. Maybe.
That's my mindset. I don't disagree on the years, but the average annual value, I think, that's more of what I was focusing on.
I think it's you're going to be paying a premium dollar to get somebody before they've even hit their prime yet. Like, you're going to be paying a little bit more for future performance, and then it's more of the thank you contract towards the end of it, because we're not expecting him to be doing the same level of damage at age 33, 34. Assuming we do give him that 8 or 9 year deal, I'm hoping it's more like 8 with a ninth option, as opposed to 9 with a 10th option, or 10 flat out, like 10 for 300. Because I feel like if you were to present a 10 million dollar deal, he's taking it. 10 300, he's probably taking that too.
Go ahead. Are we sure he's willing to take that? I mean, that number, from everything I gather, and I know he keeps saying, I want to be here, but saying that signing the 11.2 or whatever the Red Sox gave him, which was the projected number, was a hard decision for him. It's like, dude, that's the number that's, you know, that's pretty much written in stone. So I don't know if he sees himself as like a $35 million player. And then you're looking at 10,350, and then, you know, tack on, you know, another player option, vesting option at the end there. I don't know if 10 at 3 is enough. And I on Lou Maloney's Twitter, people are like, you just give him like 10 years, $200 million, he'll take it. It's like, no, he won't.
No.
I hope people understand that this one will be a lot of money, and it will cost you
right, a
guy or two down the road. Because that, you know, $35 million is two pretty darn good players right there.
Right. do you think that Chaim Bloom is the type of GM, president operation, like president of baseball operations, to do that kind of move? And we've never seen it. Like, the biggest thing that we'd seen until Trevor Story was JBJ, as far as like contract for a player. And then he opened up the pocketbook, you know?
Yeah, he's always said he'll spend it when the time comes. And we did just see that with Story. So he's smart enough to understand when you have a cornerstone player. It's just, at what point does that cornerstone player value himself too high? And I don't know if we got to that point totally with Devers, but I think we are approaching that if, you know, he does another year and next year he should be making about, you know, 15, 16, is he going to make a stink? Because you really don't need to get him done this year. It would be better to, but it's not the end of the world if you don't.
Fair. I mean, oh, sorry. Go ahead, Terry.
Well, I was going to say, it was probably sounding like I was nitpicking as I was going through my take. Ultimately, I just want it done. And I hope it's not super astronomical, but, you know, if it ends up, you know, if it ends up at 300, I think that's fine, especially if it's a 10-year deal. But I mean, if we're getting, you know, 350 or above, that's, I don't think the Red Sox would even do that.
I don't think the Red Sox would do that either. And I think if he was going to do, oh man, maybe 10-3, 10-3, 20. Because I'm like you, Tia. I don't think that the Red Sox would do 10-3, 50. Do I think that Rafael Devers is a $35 million per every year? I don't know. I think that's tough. Now, if you give him that 320 over the course of the next 10 years, assuming that's what it's going to take, I think it's possible. But I'm still really hoping that it's going to be more towards that 8 spot, because next year, he's going to be making what, 15, 16 million?
At least, and maybe upwards of 20 if he's a top 10 MVP guy.
Right. So if you give that extra million towards the back end of that deal, he's not making 30 million in his first year of the deal anyways. So I feel that losing Rafael Devers to free agency because we didn't do our job in re-signing him will have disastrous effects for years to come. And this one is going to hurt more. It's going to sting more. It's going to hurt more than Mo Vaughn leaving for nothing.
I don't think it'll get there. If they can't extend him next winter going into his final year of arbitration,
right,
I think he gets moved during the winter.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And he should. I mean, if you know you're just going to lose him for whatever compensation pick that they've established in the CBA, I think it's like a late third, you absolutely take whatever you can get for a prospect back. And maybe you can even eat a bad contract too, coming back your way and get an even better player. And then you just turn your head to Bogarts. It's a pretty easy one there. You go, all right, what do you want over 5 years? It will just, you know, clear the books after that. We'll have both Story and Xander coming off, and we'll just figure it out. And you should, in theory, have Cassis well on his way, Meyer coming up in his second year, and York up established. So they're not super handcuffed here. It's not going to be great, but they do have a nice fallback option with Xander.
I just wonder if they're going to wait for Xander to opt out before concentrating on Devers, because even though Bloom's saying he wants them both around, I mean, that's not that realistic. You would have, let's see, you've got Sale already, Trevor Story. So that would be, counting Devers and Bogarts, at least four guys making north of 20.
Yeah, you don't have $90 million just on your infield alone.
Yeah, so
and that includes you know, a guy making minimum.
So I just wonder if they're going to wait to see what Xander does, and then if he opts out, maybe they get more aggressive with Devers in the off season. But I'd love to get a notification on my phone that one of them took an extension. So. All right, let's get into some other players, because these guys more realistically could get an extension before opening day, and maybe a couple of these are going to be a little bit more likely out of the four we're going to cover. But Let's go with Nathan Eovaldi first. Should the Red Sox extend him this winter? Charlie, go ahead, lead off.
I think they're going to have to. We still don't know who's going to be ready, who's going to be available, and the Red Sox have just been kind of playing around with just a couple of arms. Should they? Yes. Are they going to? It would come at a cost, because this year he's making $17 million. It's the final year of his four-year, $68 million deal. They did not move him last year. They didn't move him in 2020 during the shortened season. You're probably looking at like a minimum two-year deal to keep him in Boston. He was fantastic last year. Like, fantastic. It was arguably his best season ever. It's gonna hurt to see him not in Boston, because I don't know what the rotation's gonna look like past 2022. Yes, you have Chris Sale in there. You probably made the adjustment to get Garrett Whitlock in there at that point, Tanner Houck as well. But are Tanner Houck, Garrett Whitlock, and Chris Sale a formidable 1-2-3? No. So I think they're going to have to bite the bullet and get Eovaldi for another 2 years minimum.
Well, he's going to be the best free agent starter on the market. I'm not counting Syndergaard. DeGrom. He said he'd opt out, but he wants to resign. So just right. Going off the names that are available, I would probably honestly see if he'd want to run back his contract exactly as is, four at 68, $17 million. Is it slightly under? Yes. Is it a four-year guarantee for a guy that's had arm issues in the past? Absolutely. And he's at the point of his career where he's established, his family's established. They probably don't want to uproot their life. Maybe they want to go back, you know, pitch where he, you know, grew up. But I don't see that. I think if you offered him that same deal, maybe a little higher, maybe like 475, I think he had a pretty good chance. And I think it's a good risk if they do that, because that's third starter money at this point of the game. You know, that's less than what the old qualifying offer was, which we all, I think, wanted to pay Erod. And I think it's a good risk for both player and team.
Well, there are a few decent names, though, outside of DeGrom. Noah Syndergaard is showing as a unrestricted free agent. You also have Joe Musgrove, Jameson Taillon. Mike Clevinger has a rebuilt elbow. He'll be a free agent as well. So there, it's not like super terrible, but here's where I'm at. If he were given a two-year deal this winter, I wouldn't hate it and go on a Twitter tirade. But if it were to be a three- or four-year deal, this has Chris Sale 2019 written all over it. Tons of red flags. He finally pitched the best season of his career, had the healthiest season of his career, and he's got 1 year left. So I would make him play it out. I think still at the end of the year, the Red Sox are still going to be his first choice. They're going to be his first choice to re-sign next year in free agency. He's 32, so he'll be 33 next season. So I don't know if I want Nathan Eovaldi pitching until, you know, through his age 36 season anyway. I'd at least wait.
But I just think the pitching market might be a little crazy now. Now that you don't have to give up that second round pick to sign one of these guys. The market for these players is going to go nuts. And Nate's younger than I think all those guys you mentioned too. He's sneaky young. Clevinger's older than him. Musgrove's definitely older than him. I just see Nate having quite the market for a guy that's been in a lot of big games. This will be his third straight opening day. That's a top two guy. If just based off what we saw, hell, we saw Scherzer get, 40? I think Nate's worth half of that at least.
I think he'll if he follows up this season with how he pitched last season, I think he's probably looking at 20-ish from being at 17. But I just don't want to make a Dave Dombrowski move here and pitch him too early. I mean, and extend him too early. You know, I mean, what would Chris Sale have got? What kind of contract would he be playing under right now if they simply waited and not signed him early, for only for him to blow out his elbow a handful of months later? And I think Chaim Bloom is hoping that Rich Hill and Michael Wacha give you a sub 4 ERA type year. And I think they both can. I think Hill, they'll have to kind of limit his innings a little bit. And I shouldn't say I think Wacha can. I mean, if you believe in the hype, he can, with that revamped changeup that he has supposedly. But I think Bloom is hoping to, with those two types of players, Hill and Wacha, give you that close to, you know, 2021 season from Eovaldi at less than half the price. That's just where I think he's probably at.
I don't have that much faith in Wacha staying in the starting rotation that long. From all accounts, James Paxton might be back in June, and Wacha is the first guy getting his walking papers. He'll be the long man after that. Paxton will slide right in there.
Hopefully. I'm a skeptic, though, because he's struggled, you know, even in his better seasons with his mechanics, Paxton. You know, I'm hoping for the best, and I know we have an option for next year. And I hope he returns to form and pitches well. But I just, signing him early, Eovaldi just has Dave Dombrowski written all over it. And the other thing with Wacha too, I mean, the hope really by giving him $8 million is they're trying to recreate the next Robbie Ray. They're trying to do what he did in 2021. It's the same type of contract. I'm a skeptic of I hated the Wacha signing anyway, but I mean, that's what they're doing. The Dodgers are trying it with Andrew Heaney. Similar type deal, but I just got a lot of trust issues with Eovaldi when it comes to health. Any other thoughts? No? Okay. Next on the docket is Kike Hernandez. Initially signed a 2-year, $14 million deal, so 7 per. This will be the second year of that deal. I don't think any of us would be shocked if he got an extension early, but Andrew, go ahead, lead off on this one.
See, that's where we differ. I actually would be surprised. I think this is his final year, unless he's willing to not take that much money next year. I think there will be teams lining up. Hell, look what we just saw Chris Taylor get paid. And by all accounts, there were a lot of teams interested in him. I think Kike, if he has another strong year in the leadoff spot, he's going to have a lot of suitors for a lot more money. So I don't see the Red Sox trying to compete with that. Hopefully they'll have a better option in the outfield next year. Kike is not the type of player I want to commit to long term. And I love Kike, but I think if you can get him for 2 really good years, you have to take that as a win and move on.
I think Chris Taylor is a very good, I think, comparison, because I think he got, was it 4 years, 17 each year? Did he get the same thing as Eovaldi, or what was his contract?
He's $64 million over 4 years, so 16 per, so just under.
16. Pretty darn close,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I think the odds of Kike Hernandez staying has a lot to do with what else ends up happening with Xander Bogaerts. If Xander Bogaerts doesn't end up getting some kind of contract re-signing and whatnot, that opens the door for all that money that would have gone to Xander or has been going to Xander to go to other players. Is Kike the same player as Xander? No. Does Kike offer positional flexibility that the Red Sox could utilize if Xander isn't there? Yes. would I be willing to give him a two for 22 or $2 for $23 million deal? Sure. Do I think that there are going to be teams that offer Kike Hernandez more money? Yes. But as far as like wanting to get him, I'd love to have him back again. He's, you know, nothing short of frustrating at times because you sit there like, God, stop swinging at the first pitch. Stop swinging when you're down 0-2 or 1-2. But I think the chances of him signing have a 100% to do with whatever happens with Xander. If Xander resigns, he's probably gone. If Xander's gone, there's a very good chance he comes back.
I sort of viewed Kike as being in the 10 million to probably 14 million bracket. So that would put him a little bit under what Chris Taylor got. 4 years is plausible though. Kike is 30. He turns 31 in August. So I don't know if you'd call this his age 30 season or 31. Since it's kind of beyond the halfway point, but he's a fairly young guy. And I wouldn't be shocked, though, if Bloom gave it a shot, because what's our outfield future? We don't really have anyone. In addition to that, Kike is also the ultimate insurance policy. If Xander goes down with a significant injury for a couple months, if Story has an injury and there are already elbow concerns, he could play the infield in a pinch. So I would be surprised if the Red Sox didn't at least explore an extension. And Alex Cora is his favorite person in the world. You know, they both come from Puerto Rico. Cora has known him since he was a teenager. So I guess I wouldn't be shocked. I don't really have a dog in the fight. I'm not clamoring for a Kike extension like I am a couple other guys that we've talked about. But again, wouldn't be shocked if there's some rumblings of it.
That's fair enough. And him and Taylor are the same age. He's just a guy that every team wants. They want to have a Kike Hernandez. They want to have a clubhouse leader. They want to have that spark plug in the lineup. I don't see it beneficial to him, unless it's an overpay, to take a deal before hitting the market with no qualifying offer pick attached.
It's a fair point. There's a lot of dynamics that make it hard for both sides. So I wouldn't be shocked if nothing does come to fruition, and we'll see what the market looks like next year. But the lack of outfield depth in our farm concerns me. I mean, maybe Dahlbeck emerges as a good left field option. Christian Arroyo was day-to-day with a hand injury already, which apparently is minor, but my trust issues with him staying healthy are really bad. And I spent all of last winter hyping him, coming up with bold predictions, and he just couldn't do it. I think in the first or second inning where they tried him at first base, he was out with a hamstring for 3 or 4 weeks. So we definitely got some problems out there, but we'll see what emerges, in the outfield throughout the year. I mean, is Bradley back next year? I hope not.
I don't see it unless he has a decent bounce back season, which definitely possible, because until last year, he was a 3 WAR player per year on average. I don't know. Familiarity with the team could revitalize his career a little bit. But I don't see him being, you know, a guy that they're going to count on going into the winter, making their plans around.
I'm just hoping Jaron Duran steals as much time as possible with
And he's looked good, both at the plate and tracking balls in the outfield. And honestly, the defense was probably even more concerning than the offense last year. So if he can put it all together, that's great. Next year, you could be looking at him, Verdugo. And, I mean, hell, Nick York might be in left field when the time comes if they do re-sign the two guys on the left side of their infield.
I hope so. All right, next on the docket, JD Martinez. I don't know what an extension would look like if he got one, but...
Yeah, you can't give him one, right? I mean, especially if you want to extend Devers. I think that's the biggest, like, question mark going back to Raffy. It's like, is he going to end up at DH? You know, so you can't have anyone blocking that. And JD's just too old. He can go back down to like Miami or something, play his last season or two there, or just chase a ring out in LA. He'll have enough of a market if teams were kicking the tires on Albert Pujols this year. He could easily go to the Dodgers. There's just no real reason, unless he wants to get a large discount, for him to be back. I think him playing out these full 5 years was great. It's not too often that happens. I think it's going to be an amicable split.
100%. You can't. Not at that age now. JD's 35, I think. Pretty close to it if he's not there yet. Unless he's willing to take a significant discount, it's not going to happen. And that money just needs to be allocated somewhere else. I don't think he's going to hit 25, 26 home runs this year. I'll be shocked if he gets 90 RBIs. All the numbers were, you know, slowly but surely starting to come down, and plenty of excuses were made for the 2020 abysmal season where his batting average dropped almost 100 points. And I think that was just the beginning signs of just someone who, you know, past his prime. You know, we saw those years, you know, in his late 20s, 30-year-old season, 31-year-old season, where he was hitting 40-plus bombs, hitting 35-plus home runs, over 120, over 130 RBIs. It's not happening anymore. You know, that's money that could better be spent in a couple different spots. You can get a couple of decent players for 19, 20 million. And I believe JD's making just south of 20 mil this year.
I have to agree with both of you. There's literally no reason whatsoever to extend him right now. And he's not coming off a terrible season, though. I mean, he was a 3 WAR, just short of a 30-100 season. But he's not going to take a one-year deal. That would be the most logical extension. Just give him one more year. I don't think there's any scenario in which Devers comes off of third base next year, or perhaps even a year or two after that. So... But you're going to have Casas up, and if Dahlbeck doesn't work out too good in the outfield, now you're going to want your DH position open. I think the interesting thing is, what if he does go off during the season and just has a great year, and maybe if we do get into the month of October, which I'm a little more optimistic now than I was a week ago. Maybe he has some big moments. I think he could make it tough on the Red Sox to move on. And I'm just kind of, it could just make for an interesting offseason next year if he does have a stellar year.
Yeah, I can see him being linked and like trying to put some public pressure if the teams that are actually kicking the tires on him, you know, they aren't for front runners for divisions and playoff spots. I just, especially with the way Haim operates, I can't see anyone taking those reports seriously. You know, like Haim will be like, oh, the Red Sox. And so, yeah. We've seen this way too many times for me, man. It just seems like he won't have this team to leverage, because like you brought up Bobby, Tristan. There's only so many spots in that order. and only so many DHs. I don't think anyone's going to do what Philly did. So I don't think we're going to throw him in right field for a year. I think the writing is on the wall with this one. It's going to be a swan song, and hopefully it goes pretty well.
Let me just throw one other scenario out there. It's not a extension scenario, but it involves Martinez. Let's say Casas gets called up early. It doesn't look like he's making the team at this point because he's already been optioned. But let's say he comes up in early to mid-May or perhaps late May, and he's just extremely hot right out of the gates. And Dahlbeck's hot. He's continuing on what he did in the second half next year. Is there a scenario, even though we're going for it, to where JD could be traded at the deadline? If we're just really robust offensively?
Well, who's... Oh, sorry. I'll make it quick.
No, go ahead.
In that case, the people that are going to be trading for him are going to be the same ones you're gutting for playoff positioning for. So I don't think you're going to make your team worse to make them better. And I think that would rattle way too many cages in the locker room.
True.
Yeah, I also think so too. This isn't somebody that's caused problems on the team. It was just like more like he became a problem in 2020. That was really it. It's going to be... It'll be interesting. I'm curious to see where the team is after the first couple of months. The season felt very grim prior to the Trevor Story signing. I'll be not the first one to admit it, but I will be open about that. I did not feel that this was a 500 team. Now that Trevor Story's here, that's a little bit of a different story. Yes, pitching helps, but now you have another big bat, and I feel like Trevor Story has the capability of replacing that bat, and now it's a question of what can we do to replace – get another big bat in here, because last year we lost two big bats and we've brought one back in. So the idea of trading JD Martinez now, it's kind of similar to the idea of Nate Eovaldi almost getting sent out a couple years ago. I think if you're trying to save face and trying to make it look like you're putting a competitive product out there, it's going to be something that it's going to have to be an amazing haul for that to happen.
Ideally, I mean, if it did happen, he'd have to go to a National League team. But the scenario in my head, what made me think of it was in 2012, which was a while ago, and it's a different game now, but Will Middlebrooks came up and stole it from Kevin Youkilis. I don't think anyone at the start of 2012 would have envisioned Youkilis getting traded. Now, granted, looking at Euclid's numbers now, wasn't having a great year anyway, hitting .233, well below his career average, and getting on base at .315 clip. Slugging percentage was in the upper threes. So he wasn't having a great year, but that's kind of where I drew it from. If Casas comes up and it's suddenly Casas mania and Dahlbeck's hitting well, it was just an outside the box scenario I was wondering about. Last player, we won't spend hardly any time on him, but stranger things have happened. Christian Vasquez. Any scenario whatsoever, he could get maybe a 2-year extension from Bloom before opening day.
No, I don't see it happening. Sorry, I was trying to hit unmute. I'm experiencing some microphone difficulties today. I was actually spending a little bit of time on, the catching prospects that we have, and we don't have too many solid options. We have Ronaldo Hernandez that came over in the trade with Tampa Bay, and then we have Nathan Hickey. Both are not both aren't here right now. Can Ronaldo Hernandez play right now? And this is something that I usually would defer to Andrew, who knows a lot more about the prospects, I feel like, in the group. So kudos to Drew. Ronaldo Hernandez, do we see him potentially being up as a major league catcher for 2022, 2023? Nathan Hickey's not ready yet. But if Vasquez is gone, it can't fall specifically and solely on Kevin Plawicki. We need to have a backup to him, or we need to find a replacement for him. Can Ronaldo Hernandez be that guy?
Highly doubtful. He's got a lot of holes in his swings. His receiving skills are not great. You could strike lightning in a bottle, but that's not a good strategy with him going forward.
But I mean, Connor Wong would, depending on his year, could possibly get called up, I would think. I mean, he wasn't terrible in that cup of coffee he had last season.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be a 120 game a season guy. I mean, today his first throw was like 15 feet in center field. So, I am lower on Wong than I think most people. I know he had an adequate showing. I just think, in based off reports pre-lockout, we know that Bloom was going after Jacob Stallings, who has to be pissed he got moved to Miami instead of Boston. They're fighting an arbitration now over a couple hundred thousand. And that seems to be the type of player Bloom wants. And I don't know if it can happen, but Sean Murphy with the A's is there for the taking with Tyler Soderstrom about 2 years out, Shea Langeliers coming up. You could blow them out of the water with a trade for Sean Murphy, a Gold Glover, a guy that's going to put up about 4 or 5 WAR a year, even if he struggles with the average. I think that's the best bet, and I really do think within a year we'll see a significant move for a catcher.
Well, that's what I was wondering, because, I don't have next year's free agent catchers up, but the only reason Vasquez would get an extension, if there was one, was if they just weren't confident with what the market was looking like, and maybe it was like an insurance move. But two guys in the rotation, the two best pitchers on the Red Sox, don't want to pitch to him. And what if we find out that Rich Hill or Michael Wacha can't pitch to him? It could be a pretty catastrophic season for Vasquez.
Yeah, I mean, you're never going to have a free agent here with catchers like you did this year with shortstops. But there are some adequate names. Austin Barnes becomes available. Austin Hedges. Wilson Contreras with the Cubs. He'll probably get a pretty decent-sized contract. So guys like that. Zunino is available as well. Plawecki. I just don't see them. I'd be willing to bet a lot of money that Vasquez is playing his last 162 regular season games as a member of the Red Sox. Longest tenured member of the Red Sox, may I put it.
Not as a catcher, you mean?
Just, he's the longest tenured guy on the team.
Bogaerts is, I think.
I think they were the same year. Oh, were they? Oh, okay. Signed, yeah.
Well, Bogaerts was playing in the 2013 World Series, so that's what made me think that. But I don't have that up in front of me. But he's been around a while. So, I mean, to your point. I was trying to get Tanner Houck's splits with Vasquez, but I'm just not I can't navigate that quickly around those fancy sites. Yeah, so I think we could all anticipate that this would definitely be his last year as well. So conceivably all four of these guys last year, Evaldi, JD, Kike, and Vasquez. I mean, that's crazy to think about.
I feel like that's kind of the thing. Every 4 or 5 years, there's a major shakeup where 22 out of the 25 guys are all different. They were talking about the difference between the 04 and the 07 World Series
teams.
Huge
difference.
That's just 3 years, but everybody was gone except for two or three names.
Yeah, Schilling, Poppy, and that might be it. Well, maybe
Manny.
Oh, Manny. Yeah, Manny was there. My bad. Yeah. Yeah.
Manny was there too. There was only a few names. And then from 07 to 13, one.
No, that's two. At least two. No, no, three. Because Pedroia and Ellsbury were studs in that.
Oh, but.
20s.
You're right.
Yeah, they're both rookies that year.
Yeah.
You're right. You're right. That's some big moments. Nostalgic of just Big Poppy.
And Lester as well. So, and then Poppy. So four. So that's still crazy. And in that 6 year time, you get four guys in 6 years, but you go from 04 to 07 and it's so few. But a lot of people, I'm not a football guy. You guys are much bigger football guys than I am, but I've heard so many times that one of the more genius things from Belichick is how he turns over the roster frequently, and it refreshes the chemistry a little bit. Stuff doesn't get stale. And you look at these teams that, like the Phillies from 10 years ago, gave out a ton of extensions and they just never made the playoffs again after that. And still haven't, unless they did in 2020. I don't think they did, but it is. And the Tigers, because of Dombrowski, still haven't gotten back there yet. I think they're my sleeper team this year. That's going to surprise a lot of people, you know, maybe 90 something wins, but yeah. So in a way you do kind of want to turn it over a little bit. You want to have a new energy every year going into spring. So just Vasquez and JD alone, not being on the team next year, that's going to be felt going into spring training.
Yeah, you know, maybe Vasquez takes a deal to come back as the backup. You know, maybe he's self-aware enough that he knows he can't carry the load, whether his pride allows it or the contract offers allow it. I don't know. I don't mind having him on the team. His split stats have just really gone south, and maybe it was the juiced ball that gave us a false sense of who he could potentially be, but his exit velocity, his batted ball distance, the only thing that's gone up and up is his whiff rate, which, good for him. I mean, he doesn't chase much, but he's like a classic slap hitting second baseman from like the 1940s at this point. He just provides nothing. And if Sale and Nate are super comfortable, I just don't know how it's feasible to keep him here long term.
Do you think he might have got under Bloom's skin a little bit with all those comments about adding players, and he talked about not having a closer specifically?
I thought that was hilarious, because it's like, you know where we can improve the most? It's catcher. Like your position, buddy. And I'm trying to. I thought that was really weird. I would expect a guy that's a little bit more established to say that. Also, if I'm Matt Barnes, I'm like, I'm going to skip a hard slider in the dirt. Screw you, man. I still want to be the closer. Don't write me off yet. I wasn't a huge fan of what he was saying, but I don't know. I mean, have those thoughts. Maybe don't go on at night on Instagram Live and air them out to the world.
Yeah, I mean, I was pretty frustrated myself at the time, you know, because Story hadn't been here yet, and we're still trying to figure out what the plan really was, whether it was short-term or long-term, being, you know, 2 or 3 years out. But I just had to figure, either way, regardless of which side we were on, like, Bloom can't like that too much. Just crazy. But any other thoughts, Charlie?
I'm curious to see, you know, we've been talking a lot about, you know, which players we think we are going to get moved, which players are going to get re-signed. Of all the ones that we've talked about, it's always one of those things where who's right, who's wrong. And I genuinely, this year more than ever, I really don't know. Like, I have no idea, because we went from, it doesn't really look we're going to be making any major additions. We signed a couple of relievers, and then the Trevor Story news broke, where it didn't really feel like we were really that in it. And then all of a sudden, nope, the Red Sox are in deep talks with Trevor Story. So it's a lot of really well-kept secrets, because I didn't think that Trevor Story and the Red Sox were the front-running pair. Like, if I'm being completely honest, did you guys think that Trevor Story had the Red Sox as the number one team?
Not until Rosenthal came out and said that the Red Sox were in the mix, because Heyman was connecting us to everybody.
Yeah, he connected every single player in baseball to the, every major league team. That's rough. I had to mute his notifications because it was like every 2 minutes, bing, arbitration. No. I'm going to be pleasantly surprised when the deadline comes up for us this year.
Yeah, and I wouldn't be surprised, though, if any of these guys got a 2 or 3 year deal. I mean, last year, of all the people that got an extension, it ended up being Matt Barnes, and that wasn't really on my radar. And yeah, he did have that great first half and hadn't really slipped at that point yet, but you just never know what that front office is thinking because they're just so closed up. So I wouldn't rule out anything by any means. But I think on that note, we can probably wrap. At some point next week, we are going to do our year-long predictions, MVPs, division winners, World Series matchups. It's always a fun show. All five of us will be on for that one. It's probably my favorite show other than, of course, the playoff predictions as well. Once we get there.
Mine too.
I had some doozies last year, so I'm going to try to... I had a great 2019 as far as all that went, but last year I didn't follow it up, so we'll see. I think everybody knows where I'm picking for the AL East, but after that, we'll see what we come up with. So everyone have a good rest of your week. We'll probably try to come back Sunday. I'm not sure if that'll be the show for that yet or not. It will probably wait a little bit closer just in case any moves do get made. But we'll find a reason to come on as things develop. So everyone have a good rest of your week. Take care.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.